We are almost there. The last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. This is exciting. A time like this, reaching the last chapter of a book, only happens every 2 or 3 years around here. So we want to bask in that moment. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 are our text for this morning. Let us turn our careful attention to the reading of God's most holy and precious, inspired, infallible Word. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Our main idea for you today, and there is a spot there on the back of the tan sheet to keep some notes. Our main point is this: Jesus' claims of resurrection are true. So believe the consequences of the resurrection. Jesus' claims of resurrection are true. So believe the consequences of the resurrection. I want to build for you in these 6 points this morning a logical flow that moves from Christ's claims and the reality of the resurrection to what that should mean for us. I've done this in what is called a chiasm. Okay? So 1 and 6 are more related, 2 and 5 and 3 and 4. Okay? So we'll work our way in, then we'll work our way out. And then we'll have lunch. Okay? You'll see here that the title on your sheet is "As He Said." What we want to do is build this logic on the fact that Christ had told His disciples what was going to happen. Now, they missed it, as we've seen along through the Gospel of Luke. There was a lot that they missed. But they were able in this moment to think back and remember what Christ had said, and it was clear to them that this moment had been prophesied by their Savior. Firstly, the resurrection is the pivot point of human history. The resurrection is the pivot point of human history. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they go to the tomb, and now they are going to do our version of embalming the body, which was wrapping spices in amongst the wrap and washing the body down in a way to try to preserve the body a little longer, at least make it not stink as much, as it rotted. We all remember that classic line, which is best read in the King James Version, of when Jesus goes to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead, but Lord, he stinketh. I love that scripture. I have, and any of you who have teenage sons know that that is a verse for life. Lord, he stinketh. Okay? Go take a shower. This was showing that the body was already decomposing in the grave. And so the efforts of the spices and the ointments were to give a moderate preservation, not like the mummification of Egypt, but just to maybe give a more graceful decomposition to the body. And then, as would be typical, eventually the flesh would rot away and the bones would be gathered up in an ossuary and then be fully buried. But here in this moment, something happened. It was something that perplexed the women. It was something that amazed Peter. He marveled at what he saw, which were the linen cloths wrapped with nothing in them. There's been a fascination throughout human history with escape artists who intentionally put themselves in modified dangerous situations. And they impress the audience by escaping. We actually have a set of volumes in the library at the RP Seminary that are signed by Harry Houdini, because they were a gift to one of our pastors when Houdini was going about trying to break down the spiritist movement, the seances and all these things. And so he would do a fake seance showing how it could be done with parlor tricks, and then I think it was R.G. George McKnight, I believe, would then come out and preach the gospel to the crowd and give them the truth about life and death. But my friends, Jesus was not a Harry Houdini. He didn't make sure that there was a slip knot in the cloths when they buried him, because he wasn't just trying to put himself in a precarious situation for show. He was dead. He was dead. Think back to the crowd, the religious leaders standing before the cross saying, "If you're the Son of God, come down from there." That's what I thought. He declared salvation for others. He can't even come down off a cross. He can't save himself. What a dud. Jesus did them one better. He went ahead and died and was buried. And at the appointed time, came back to life again. This is, the resurrection is the pivot point in human history. I'm guessing at least some of these ladies were present when Lazarus was brought back from the dead. But even Lazarus had to die again, and Lazarus needed the voice of the Lord calling him forth. Jesus did not need that. This is the point in human history from which everything is different now. Because it's not the shadows of promise, it's not the shadows of the sacrificial system, it's not the shadows of the Mosaic covenant, it is the reality of Christ, it is the reality of the fullness, the new covenant side of the covenant of grace. From now on, everything will be different. From now on, there is one who has conquered the grave, and the angels depicted here as men in really shiny outfits, probably the best description that the women in that moment could develop. Well, they looked like you guys, but boy, was it bright. Said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is not your average tomb. Because God Himself has visited this place and resurrection has happened. From now on, everything is different." But we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be surprised. Frankly, we shouldn't even be perplexed or marveled as our people in our story today were. Because secondly, remember, Jesus said He would rise again. The angels remind the women. And let me just say that culturally, if the Bible was made up and they were looking for legitimacy of story, the first primary witnesses to the resurrection would not have been women. They would have not been anyone other than the apostles themselves. But the Bible isn't interested in telling a tale. It's interested in speaking the truth. And so as the women arrive and they are perplexed, the angels say, "Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered His words. What a powerful little verse. And they remembered His words. Jesus had told them He would rise again. So not only has this pivotal point in human history arrived, Jesus had spoken clearly to it and told them that it would happen. Death would be conquered. The grave would be overcome. He would die at the hands of wicked men, but He would rise again. So thirdly, I want to call on you to believe the witnesses. Believe the witnesses. The women returned back to the 11. Remember, Judas met a horrible and tragic end, trying to hang himself. That didn't even go right as he burst open on the valley floor below him. So they return to the 11, to all the other disciples that were gathered there, not necessarily the 11 apostles, beyond that to other disciples. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. And they did not believe them. One of the most awesome sermons preached in the history of the world. And the apostles did not believe. It seemed like something fanciful that they were making up. Believe the witnesses. It might be true of you today. The gospel seems too good. It seems too easy. It seems like there must be something I am missing here. This is an idle tale. God's grace cannot be given freely. Surely there is something I must do to earn it. Believe the witnesses. the witnesses that are recorded for us here in Holy Scripture believe what God's Word says. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Peter, of course, was not one to ever sit around. If there was some place to run, he was running there. And he rushes into the tomb. You'll remember elsewhere it's presented differently. Maybe a little bit of a jab that Peter, due to his old age, could not beat John to the tomb. But John pauses at the door, and Peter did not know that the word pause existed. And he bursts into the tomb. I'm sure in his mind, already building what he was going to say to the women. How dare you lie to us? How dare you make up stories? I went, I saw, there is his body right there. Why would you do such a thing? But as he enters into the tomb, he sees that they were not lying. They were not making up stories. The body was gone. Jesus was alive. Believe the witnesses. So we've seen the importance of the resurrection. It is the pivotal point in human history. We've seen the prophecy of the resurrection that Jesus had told His apostles He would rise again. And we've seen the propriety of believing the witnesses, that they are telling the truth to us. Fourthly, we see that the case is made. Jesus is no longer dead. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me." Now, it's one thing to read about a great event in history. It's another thing to read a story. It is altogether different to talk to someone who was there the moment that whatever happened. There are those moments in history where people remember exactly where they were when they heard the news. And we could go through those in modern history. When JFK was assassinated. Maybe I should have started with when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. But some of us were only children when that happened. Okay. When the space shuttle blew up. When 9/11 happened. Where were you? And you can tell your story. You can remember exactly where you were, what was going on in your mind, the feelings that you experienced, and what it was like. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, calls people to do exactly what Luke had done in investigating for his gospel and the writing of the book of Acts. To go and talk to these people. The gospel is not made up in a vacuum. Paul did not write those words after everybody was dead so that nobody could question what went on. He said there were those there on that day who saw Jesus alive after His death. Go and talk to them. Some of them are dead, but some of them are still alive. Go and speak to them. My friends, the gospel is historical fact. When Paul here is speaking about the gospel that he had passed on, he didn't pass on a bunch of human experience. He didn't pass on some emotional feeling that they would have processed. He processed the historical fact. The good news is that Christ was killed according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. So my friends, the case is made. Jesus is no longer dead. He is alive. Witnesses saw Him. And their testimony is recorded for us in Holy Scripture. When we read the Gospel of Luke, we are reading the words of those who experienced this, who were there and saw it. The case is made. So fifthly, we have to understand that Jesus told the truth regarding the fact of the resurrection. In John 2, we read, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple He found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And He told those disciples who sold the pigeons, take these things away, do not make My Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for Your house will consume Me. So the Jews said to Him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? In other words, what right do you have to come in and stop us from doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But He was speaking about the temple of His body. When therefore He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this, and they believed the Scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So fourthly, the case is made. Jesus is no longer dead. Fifthly, Jesus told the truth regarding the fact of the resurrection. So then it turns, if we can believe Jesus and His word about the fact of the resurrection, the reality of it, we can believe Jesus and His word about the significance of the resurrection. Sixthly, believe the consequences of the resurrection. Believe the consequences of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul goes on in that chapter, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. My friends, let me pause and point out that the resurrection that Paul and the other apostles preached was not a spiritual resurrection. It was a physical resurrection from the grave. Why would I make that clarification? Well, there are those like John Shelby Spong, the retired bishop of, I believe, Newark. There are those like Bart Ehrman who would like to tell you that the resurrection of Jesus is really just the living remembrance of Him. That it became as if Jesus was still alive, as the apostles found new hope and new zeal and went on to preach the Word. But my friends, the Apostle Paul hangs it all on the physical resurrection of Christ. If somewhere in Palestine there is a grave with the remains of Jesus of Nazareth, we need to hang it up, we need to put the psalters in the rack, put our Bibles under the bed, and just shut off the lights, go home and forget about it, and never worry about worshiping again because it's all a joke. If Christ just gives us some modicum of comfort and hope so that we get from one day to the next until we die and there is no life beyond that, forget about it. It is stupid to do anything else connected with the name of Jesus Christ. But if Christ is raised, then that means you and I can be raised, which gives us true hope. Not just some sort of existence or life beyond the grave, but resurrection. That death does not have the final say. That even our physical bodies are redeemed at the last. My friends, Jesus rose from the dead. His claims of the resurrection are true. And so if we can believe Jesus and His Word about the fact of the event of the resurrection, we can believe that the consequences of the resurrection are also true. And that is that we have life, that we have eternal life, that we have hope in Him. That we don't just have hope in this life, we have hope in the life to come. That in Christ, even as He was raised, we are raised from the deadness of our trespasses and sins, and we walk in newness of life. In a certain sense, the resurrection in and of itself does not hold any properties of redemption. Hear me out. Some of my theology students just got quirky looks on their faces. What the resurrection does is prove that all that Jesus said and did was true. There were others who came and taught a different message, a new message. There were others who came and were killed because they were different. But only one proved that the redemption, that the life He promised was real. And He did it by rising from the grave. It's the proof. The beginning of His exaltation in which He continues to labor as prophet, priest, and king for us. We can believe Jesus. He said He would rise from the dead on the third day, and He did. So my friends, believe the consequences of the resurrection. Turn to Him in faith, in hope, not only for this life, but in the life to come, in the sure and certain hope of resurrection for all of God's people. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we have great hope today because we do not have the grave of the founder and perfecter of our faith to visit. We cannot go by and lay flowers on His tomb. We cannot go by and pray to Him. But what we can do is lay down our lives in full surrender to Him. What we can do is pray to Him, knowing that He is living and interceding for us, even now, before Your very throne. Father, the fact of the resurrection bears out the consequences of the resurrection. That we are people of life. That we are people of hope. That we are people of heaven. Father, help us to live in such hope and joy as was given to us on this day, the day of resurrection. We pray in Jesus' name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.